Welcome back. Today we're talking about GitHub Discussions, which is GitHub's built-in forum space for a repository or an organization.
So not an issue, not a pull request, but still part of the project conversation.
Exactly. Discussions are for threaded community conversations, questions, ideas, announcements, polls, and show-and-tell posts. They sit beside the more action-focused tools so the community can talk without turning every question into a task.
I like that distinction because a lot of people hesitate before posting. They wonder, am I making work for someone just by asking this?
And Discussions gives you a softer place to ask, explore, and learn. It is still public project communication, but it does not carry the same meaning as opening an issue or proposing code.
Okay, so when do I use Discussions, when do I use Issues, and when do I use a pull request?
Use an issue when there is trackable work, a bug, a setup blocker, an accessibility barrier, or a specific feature request. Use a discussion when you have a question, want community input, or want to brainstorm before deciding what work should exist. Use a pull request when you are proposing an actual change to files.
So if I ask, how does this agent work with my screen reader setup? That sounds like a discussion. If I say, this button has no accessible name, that sounds like an issue.
Yes, and if you have already changed the code or documentation to fix that button label, then a pull request is the right container for the proposed fix.
What kinds of discussion categories should learners expect to hear about?
Common ones are Q&A for support questions, ideas for brainstorming, announcements for maintainer updates, general for open conversation, and show and tell for sharing what you built. Q&A is special because one reply can be marked as the accepted answer.
That accepted answer part is helpful. It means the thread can stay conversational, but someone can still find the answer quickly later.
Right, and for workshop alumni, the support hub is a good example of this split. The support home points you to discussions for community Q&A and to issues for trackable support requests like setup blockers or accessibility blockers.
Before posting there, read the pinned Start Here resources and search existing discussions. That saves everyone from having the same conversation 5 times.
To find discussions from a repository, open the repository and move through the main navigation where you hear code, issues, pull requests, actions, projects, and sometimes discussions.
And sometimes you will not hear discussions at all.
Correct, discussions is optional. If the tab is missing, that usually means the maintainer has not enabled it for that repository.
What about big communities that are not centered on one repository?
Organizations can have discussions too. Those live at the organization level, so they are community-wide conversations instead of conversations tied to one repo.
So a repo discussion is about that project, while an organization discussion might be about the wider community, support process, roadmap, or shared practice.
Once you land on the discussions page, categories become your map. Each category acts like a section, and each one can contain many threads.
This is where low vision learners may notice the layout shifting, right?
Yes, the category panel may appear on the left or right depending on the width of the window and zoom level. It usually shows category names with item counts, pinned posts or announcements, active discussions, and sometimes tags.
Those counts are not just decoration, they help you tell where the activity is.
For keyboard browsing, heading navigation is useful because category names are headings. You can also use link navigation to move through discussion titles, then press enter to open the thread you want.
And if a screen reader has a quick key for tabs or links, the discussions tab itself is reachable from the repository navigation without needing to visually scan the page.
Creating a discussion starts from the discussions tab. Activate the new discussion button, then choose a category.
The category comes first because it changes the kind of conversation you are starting.
Exactly. Pick Q&A for a question, ideas for brainstorming, general when nothing else fits, and so on. Then write a clear title and a body using Markdown, the same style of editor you use for issues and comments.
For Q&A, I would make the title a real question, like, how do I use the daily briefing agent with NVDA, not just help?
That is much easier to search later. A screen reader path would be, tab to new discussion, press enter, use the category selector, type the title, move to the body editor, enter focus mode if your screen reader needs it, write the post, then activate start discussion.
And if control plus enter submits in that editor, it feels familiar because it matches issue comments.
After creating the discussion, GitHub may show a success message near the top. If you are zoomed in and do not hear or see confirmation, move back toward the top of the page and check where you landed.
Once a discussion exists, what does the page feel like?
It is similar to an issue page. The original post is at the top, replies follow in order, and the reply editor is usually near the bottom. In Q&A discussions, an accepted answer can also be pinned near the top.
So I should not assume the first thing after the original post is just the first reply chronologically.
Right? If the thread is answered, the accepted answer may appear before the regular timeline so people can get to it quickly.
How do you move through replies efficiently?
Use headings to jump between major parts of the thread and read down through the content when you find the reply you want. GitHub also marks replies as article elements, so NVDA and JAWS users can often press it to jump between replies.
And replying is basically the same as commenting on an issue.
Yes, move to the reply editor at the bottom, type your message, and submit. If you want to respond to a specific comment, use that comment's reply button, which opens a nested editor under it.
Let's talk about marking answers, because that is one of the big differences between Q&A and a normal conversation.
In a Q&A discussion, the discussion author or a maintainer can mark a reply as the answer. GitHub then shows the thread as answered, often with a green badge or checkmark, and the accepted answer is easier to find.
That helps future readers, but it also helps the person who asked the question close the loop.
Yes, and if the answer reveals that real work needs to happen, the conversation can move into an issue. Some projects allow maintainers to convert a discussion to an issue, which preserves the context while creating something trackable.
So a discussion can be the place where the community figures out what is true, and an issue can be the place where the project tracks what to do about it.
Exactly. Then a pull request is where someone proposes the file changes that solve the issue.
Where do polls fit into all of this?
Polls are a discussion format for collecting community preference. When you create one, you write a title and prompt, add answer options, and post it so people can vote.
So it is not a scientific survey, but it is useful for quick direction.
Right? After voting, people usually see result bars and percentages for the options. For low vision users, those bars may use color and fill, so listen for or look for the text percentages too.
And upvoting is separate from polls.
Yes, use the thumbs up reaction on a discussion or reply when you agree or want to signal importance. That is much better than posting a comment that only says plus one, because maintainers can often scan or sort by reactions.
It keeps the thread readable while still letting the community show what matters to them.
For screen reader navigation, start by treating the discussions list like a structured page. Use landmarks to find the main content, headings to move between categories or thread areas, and links to open individual discussions.
Inside a discussion, the original post, replies, answer area, and editor each become places to orient from.
Yes, NVDA users can try a for article navigation between replies, and JAWS users can often do the same. VoiceOver users will usually lean on headings, landmarks, and the VoiceOver rotor to move between controls and page regions.
And the tab strip shortcut matters too. If your setup supports it, T can move among tab items, and link navigation can help you find the discussions link.
When you reach an editor, remember that typing may require focus mode or forms mode depending on your screen reader. The editor behaves like other GitHub comment boxes, so markdown, preview, and keyboard submission should feel familiar.
How does this connect to the accessibility agents' work in the curriculum?
The accessibility agents' collection is a living catalog, so conversation matters. Challenge 15 is browse first. Learners discover agents and patterns without being required to fork that repository just to complete the challenge.
That makes discussions a natural place for questions like, which agent fits this task? Or has anyone tried this workflow with my assistive technology?
Exactly. Completing Challenge 15 unlocks Challenge 16, the capstone project, along with bonus challenges A through E as a structured path. The capstone can involve accessibility agents, Glow, or another meaningful repository, and review-ready drafts or contribution plans can count as valid evidence.
So discussions can support planning and feedback, even when the final evidence is not a merged code change.
Right, and earlier day one contribution practice still happens in the learner's learning room repository. Issue, branch, commit, pull request, and merge. Discussions does not replace that workflow. It gives the community a better place to talk around it.
The appendix also pairs discussions with gists, different tool but still community content.
A gist is a small shareable bundle of one or more files. It is useful for a code snippet, a quick markdown note, a screen reader configuration example, or a short log you want someone else to inspect.
So when would I choose a gist instead of a repository?
Use a gist when the thing is small and self-contained. Use a repository when the work needs project structure, issues, pull requests, branches, documentation, releases, tests, or a longer history of collaboration.
Give me the practical creation pass.
Open the gist page, add a file name, type, or paste the content, and choose whether to create a public or secret gist. If you need more than one file, use the Add File control before creating it. Screen reader users can move by form fields and buttons, and file extensions help GitHub apply the right formatting.
And examples would be something like NVD, a settings for GitHub web navigation, workshop day one notes, or a code snippet you want to reference in a Stack Overflow answer.
After a gist exists, you can edit it, view its revision history, embed it in a web page, clone it with Git, or fork it to make your own copy.
Finding your own gists is usually through your profile or the gist site, and public gists can also be discovered through search.
Yes, gists can have comments too. Open the gist, move to the comment editor, type your response, and submit it just like other GitHub comment areas.
The privacy part is the one I really want learners to hear clearly.
Public gists are visible and can be indexed. Secret gists are unlisted, but anyone with the link can open them. Never put passwords, tokens, private keys, student data, or sensitive logs in a gist.
Secret does not mean protected. It means hard to find unless someone has the URL.
Exactly, and if you delete a gist, treat that as permanent. Before deleting, make sure you have saved anything you still need.
For anything that changes over time, check GitHub's current documentation for discussions and gists. The interface can shift, but the decision pattern stays pretty stable. Talk in discussions, track work and issues, propose changes in pull requests, and share small standalone notes in gists.